Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
You know, I was thinking about the culmination of today being Best Friends Day, and we've just come out of a whole everything to do with vision, and for this next 12 months is My Father's House. And I think, you know, what better place than My Father's House to find our best friends? What better place is there than this? This is the place where we find amazing friends and find amazing people. Not perfect friends, praise God, because I would be disqualified. Once again, I would be the girl in the corner who doesn't have any friends because she's not perfect enough. But what I love is the fact that we've got real friends and we've got honest friends and we've got encouraging friends in this place. And I love that because to me, it's a place where strangers become friends and friends become family, yeah? And it's so, so cool. So I think about it and I'm not really surprised that it would happen because really, what is this place? This is My Father's house. This is the gateway to heaven. This is the place where heaven touches down. And I love that thought. If you've heard that phrase at all, if you've been around in Joy for any length of time, you will have heard that phrase. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. And you may have heard it many times, but you may or may not know where it's come from. It's not a cool catchphrase. We're not that cool. Only God is that cool to come up with a line like that. And it's actually come out of the Bible, and it's in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. And so I really wanted to look a little bit at that today as we continue in this outworking of My Father's house, what God is wanting to do in this incredible place that is our Father's house, that is the gateway of heaven. So as I said, it comes from the chapter 28 in the book of Genesis. And if you know me at all, you know that I believe in reading the verses around the verse. Because it's one thing to read a verse and a line and go, that's amazing. But the truth is, it can easily be pulled out and made to mean anything. So it's important that we read the verses or read the chapter around it and find out, how did that line come to be? Why is that so? So what gives that's the strength that we look at and we take strength from? And so I want to have a look at this. And if you read the whole chapter of chapter 28, what you'll see is it's the journey or the beginning of a journey of a man called Jacob who's on a search for a wife. That's a good thing. That's what I say. He was on a search. Actually, the Bible agrees with me. Proverbs 28 verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a treasure, or some translations say a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. And all the girls said, amen, absolutely. But you know, the truth is, I've got to believe that it's not actually just for the women, but it is also, because who knows that the choice of your girls, the choice of your husband is just as important and can lead to favor or otherwise as well. So really, it's important that you find the right partner, the right spouse, the right husband, the right wife. And so I love the way the Message translation puts it. It says, find a good spouse and you find a good life. Find a good spouse and you find a good life. So now the guys, you can nudge back and go, yeah, see, it's me too, babe. It's okay. But, you know, that's the truth. It's so important to find the right one, which is why we're so excited for Sarah and Navendra, which is very, very cool. But back to Jacob. Let's get back onto the web. You know, he's on the right road to find a wife. And so we encounter him in this place in verse 10, and it says this. It says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and laid down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, the north and the south, and all families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, as if that wasn't enough to start with, what's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. God is in this factory, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. In other words, it was a reverent fear. What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. What an incredible story. I love this story. This story gives me hope. Because have you ever been in the place where you really need an answer from God, but at the same time as you're asking him for an answer, you're also going, but God, how will I know it's you? How will I know it's not my own mind, my own emotions? I remember when I was asking God, you know, saying, God, I want to marry the one, I want the right spouse. I want the good spouse and the good life. I want that. Therefore, how will I know it's you? And I remember going, but how will I not be fooled by my own emotions? How will I not be fooled? But in the moment, God made it abundantly clear. He just put peace from head to toe. And I was just like, in one split second, I went from, I don't think he's the one, to he's the one. And God made it abundantly clear. So no matter where we are or what situation we're in, God knows how to speak to us. But so often we're in this place of questioning. Because it's one thing to hear it from somebody else, but in the moment, so often we question ourselves. But this story gives us hope that God can, no matter what I'm doing, God can get through to me. No matter what I am. Because like, this was a man on a mission. He was like, I'm traveling, I'm going somewhere, I'm going to go find where I believe my wife is going to be. I'm going to be there, I'm going to find her, I'm going to marry her, we're going to start a family. I want that life. And he was on his way. And yet God was able to grab his attention. You know, maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you're here because it's Best Friends Day, or maybe it's nothing to do with that. You're just here today for the first time. And you're like, okay, I'm here, I'm not regularly in church, and yet here I am talking about this. Who's that girl? She's talking about this stuff. She's talking about hearing from God. Like, what is that? You're in this place. I want to tell you that sometimes God is just grabs a hold of your face. Anyone ever had a child or seen a child do this to a mother? You know, maybe it's a toddler or something, and they're just going like, Mom, Mom. And, of course, as mums, we learn to be able to go, keep talking to our friends. So good. Yes, just wait. No, just wait. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you feel this little sticky hand go, and they grab your face and they get you right into their face and it's like, Mom! And suddenly they've got your attention because they're just like, I am tired of waiting. I am now going to grab your attention. You know what? I actually think that, for instance, when I was trying to work out whether I should date Shane, whether he was the one that God was the right person for me and I was the right person for him, God just grabbed my attention. He just grabbed my face. See, it's funny to think God may have a sticky hand too. I don't know. A big sticky hand, he just grabs it and goes, I want your attention, and he just grabs it and he makes it clear. So maybe you're in this place and you're going, I'm just here because my kids are having fun in Kid Mania. And like, have you seen the stuff? If you haven't seen it, when you're going to pick up your kids, you need to go and see. They've got an incredible setup over there. They're having an absolute blast today. But you know, you're here and suddenly you're hearing all this. I want to tell you, maybe God has brought you here. Maybe he's grabbing your face in the most loving way because he wants you to see that he sees you and he wants you to see him too. He's in this place. And I look at this and I go, I'm reading this story about Jacob. He's doing life. He's on a mission. He's going on purpose. He's got his plans. He's got his destination. He's got his time frame. He's an organized guy. And there he is. He's on his way. And on the way, on the journey, he has to sleep. So he stops overnight. He goes, oh, this seems like a good place. No hotels, no beds, no baths. No, but here's a good spot. There's a nice smooth stone. Let's just set myself down here. And he stops overnight and he lays his head down to sleep. You know, sometimes we can be so focused on our things and on our life that God has to almost wait till we're asleep in order to get our attention. And he goes, finally, the distractions are closed out. Finally, the mind has stopped. finally you're in this place, now I'm going to grab your attention. And I look at this and I think, I wonder if it was the same for God trying to get Jacob's attention, that finally when he was asleep, because this was the moment that God chose to step into his dreams and he spoke to him. And in that moment, he reveals to Jacob who he is. I love the way he starts with the genealogy. In other words, I'm faithful. I'm the God of your grandfather. You've heard about him. I'm the God of your father. You've heard stories about me through him. Now understand that here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. I want you to know that I am faithful, that I have seen you, and that I'm wanting to run alongside of you. He's in that place. And he speaks this. And once he's got his attention, he begins to put a new thing in the line of his sight. It's interesting that he has this vision. He doesn't just get a word from God, but he sees a vision of a staircase from heaven to earth. I don't know. Pretty crazy. I wonder how high up it went in his dream, or whether God compacts it into a dream. But here he is. He's got this incredible vision of a staircase coming down, and angels going up and angels going down. You know, this was actually happening way before God ever showed it to Jacob. He actually was just like, he opened his eyes, he opened his awareness and revealed to him something that was actually already happening. But he showed Jacob because he wanted him to be aware of it. And I want to say to you, the reason this is in the Bible is not just because it was in Jacob's life, because there's lots of stuff that was part of Jacob's life that has not been written about in the Bible. But God has put this in the Bible so that over 2,000 years later, we too can understand that God is here, that he's wanting to draw your attention to the reality that he's not afar off. See, this is not the Matrix with parallel universes that are supposed to never meet. This is God saying, here's a head. Do you understand that there is a stairway from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and I'm at the top of it directing angels out, directing my spirit to impact your life, to intervene, to direct your path, to speak to you, to show you things that I want you to see. I am not afar off. He wanted Jacob to see the big picture. He wants us to see the big picture. He wanted him to be in on the game plan. He was inviting him to understand his heart and the workings of heaven. And you know what? That's pretty crazy when you think that God can actually do all this without us. You do know that, don't you? God does not rely on us. He chooses to rely on us. He's the creator of all the heavens and of the earth. He's done all this without us, without our intervention. And right now, he's saying, but I want you to be a part of it. Right now, I want you to see that I want you close. I want you to see and understand. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to then be aligned, and he wants us to be active with him in what he's doing. And so God speaks to us, and he spoke to Jacob, and he showed him that heaven is not far away, that heaven is not separate, but heaven is actually interacting with earth all the time. Constantly, and God is the one who is leading the direction of the interaction. He's the one, but we're just not always awake and aware of it. So often we are a bit asleep. See, Jacob's consciousness of heaven was asleep until God stepped into his dream. He interrupted his sleep with a dream, and he gave him a new revelation. And when Jacob awoke from the sleep of that, he woke up with a new consciousness and a new vision and awareness of God's very present presence in this world, in his everyday life, and an understanding of how awesome is this place. This is the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. It really, really is. And in that moment, his life was changed, because he now knew. Who knows that saying, what's been seen cannot be unseen? I remember hearing somebody recently talk about the fact that they had a photographic memory, and I'm like, I just shall not be jealous. I shall not be jealous. I shall not be jealous. He's like, I've got a photographic memory, and I'm like, that's awesome. And he goes, yeah, as long as you only see good things. And I'm like, And he goes, yeah. And he went on to say, he said, oh, there was a time when I was growing up, and he said, and I saw my Nana naked. And he goes, what can be seen can't be unseen. And then he closed his eyes and he went, no, what's seen can't be unseen. And he's like, but this is not a nana moment that we're talking about. See, that nana moment, you're like, please. I won't go into the description that he went into about things not being in the right position, because some point I'm probably going to get there. And let's show some respect, please, to the older women in the house. Please continue that when I get even older myself. But, you know, this is not a nana moment. This is what we're looking at in the Bible here is not a nana moment. It's a good thing. It's a God thing. This is God opening the door of his home and swinging it wide. This is God, our Father, welcoming us into his house, into his heart, into his world. It's amazing. But the truth is, at this point, we need to decide, and when these moments come to us, we need to decide, will we receive them and will we respond to them? But I love Jacob's receptive response to God's word, to God coming to him. And we're going to continue to read from verse 18 as he continues straight on, because he's just had this dream. And then it says, the next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. And he named the place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. In other words, he was basically saying, if he'll do what he says he's going to do, he will be my God. And it says, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. You know, as soon as Jacob woke up, his response was immediate, it was heartfelt, and it was real. But what I love is that it wasn't just an immediate response and then it disappeared. Because what you see, what we can learn from Jacob's life is that he did three things. And these are three things. I love this because I always look to someone else's life. Who wants to learn from the people around them? Especially the people who have gone before them and have a little bit more experience. I personally am always looking to learn from people who are a little further ahead, and I'm like, what can I learn from their lives? Well, here's a man whose life has made it into the Bible. Not because it was perfect. Praise God, because none of us are. It wasn't because it was perfect, but because he made the end of his race. And God has put his life in there so that we may learn something. We might pick up keys and principles that we can put into our lives to strengthen our lives and to help us to stay the path also. So we see he's done three things, and I want to put these things out to you because I believe they're going to help all of us as we continue to take a hold of the things that God's got for us. The first thing he did when God spoke to him, he created a new memory. Verse 18, it says it, we just read it, said the next morning Jacob got up very early and he took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar, and then he poured olive oil over it. You know, he took that stone that previously had just been common. It just been a pillow. It just been a place to put his head down. It wasn't something he was planning. It's not like Shane taking his pillow with him everywhere he goes. He travels with his little squashed up little pillow that he's had since he was like 12 that he can fold in half and it would fit into my handbag almost. But he takes it with, this is not a pillow that he was taking with him. This was just a stone, a rock that he was just like planning to stick his head on and then forget about. And then at this time though, he understands that something significant has happened. God has spoken to him and he changes the position of the stone. And he puts it upright. He gives it a new position. And then he pours oil on it. He honors it by putting olive oil on it. He made a memorial to God and what God had done for him in that moment. What God had said for him. Kind of like a new Facebook memory. Anyone got those Facebook memories and they pop up on your feed? And then they say, 1 year ago or 4 years ago today, you were here and you were with these people and you did this, or you started this relationship with this friend. And it pops up as a reminder to you. See, what they didn't have Facebook in those days, but what he was doing was he was looking to put something that would continue to pop up to remind him. So to keep it fresh in his heart, keep it fresh in his understanding, keep his vision in line with what God had said to him. To remind him of what God had done, what God had spoken, and what God had shown him in the moment that he encountered him. You know, it's so important that we do this, that we honor, that we make a memorial, that we create a new memory around the things that God has done. There's a reason why people celebrate wedding anniversaries. It's not just another excuse to go out for dinner. Oh, I don't have to cook tonight. We've got our wedding anniversary. It's awesome. It's not actually about that. It's about stirring up the memory of the moment you made that commitment where you went, you are the one for me for the rest of my days. For as long as we both shall live, I am committed to you. Till death do us part. This is what my commitment, you know, remind you of, to look back and to go, oh, that's right. When you saw them down the end of the aisle, when you first saw them down the end of the aisle, I mean, how many weddings do you go to and the men are just like in tears and the women, the girls, you know, the bride is just in tears because they're just like seeing them with love and with such appreciation, and in the moment they're in that place and they're like, whoa, this is incredible. You know what? Anniversary is to remind you, to bring back to your memory again. Because guess what? Yeah, but guess what? Because you know why? Because life is not a wedding. Darn it. Life is not a wedding. Marriage is not a wedding. A wedding is a few hours on a day. Maybe with a honeymoon. These days, like a 3-month honeymoon. My goodness, gosh, some people. My day was like, you were lucky if you had 2 weeks. It's like, wow, you got 2 weeks. Now they go for Europe for 3 months. It's like crazy. But you know, sorry, back on track. Sorry. But you know, it's to remind you of the moment. Remind you of what was said in that moment, what was done in that moment, how you felt in that moment, to help it stay fresh, the wonder and the appreciation of your marriage. Because life is not a wedding. You know, you can have an anniversary when you're in a great spot in marriage. You can have an anniversary when you're in a bad spot in your marriage. Anniversaries can come around when you're all the same point in your marriage. Where are the fresh moments? Where are the spice? There's an anniversary. Praise God. Because an anniversary is there to celebrate and to remind us once again. We need to create a new memory. We need to remember that what God has said to us in our lives. And so Jacob created a new memory. If God speaks to you, write it down. If he shows you a picture, do your best. Do a little sketch or something that will help you to remember it. Even if it means nothing to anybody else. Maybe you're a shocking drawer, but when you see it, you remember what God showed you. I've had a few things and I'm like, God, I just wish I could draw that. I can kind of draw, but there's no way I can capture this, Lord. But you do what you can. And you write it down and you get it down. Why? So because our brains are stuffed with so much stuff these days. Our memory banks are overloaded with information and with pictures and with images. We've got so much of it. And here we are with what we think will be indelibly imprinted on the inside of our eyelids. Like the moment I close my eyes, I will see it. But no, actually it's not. It seems so impacting at the moment. I remember when I gave birth to my two daughters. I have two daughters. And I remember when I gave birth to them, at the time, my goodness, I was so impacted by the labor. I was like, God, what are you thinking? I won't give you any other details, but I was thinking, God, what are you thinking? What were you thinking? Why did you do this to me, Lord? Shane, why did you do this to me? To put me in, you know what I mean? But you think you'll never forget, and yet 2.5 years later, I'm back. What was going on? That was the first time. You think I'd have learnt my lesson. You think it would be indelibly imprinted on my brain, but no, it wasn't. And so we have families with multiple children because our memories are not only wired to remember, but they're wired to forget. But we need to understand we don't want to forget what God said to us. So we need to create a new memory. The second thing, now I'm going to keep going. The second thing that Jacob did that we want to learn from is he created a new name. He created a new name for that space and for that place. And for him, it was a place. But maybe for you, it's a space. Maybe for you, it's a relationship. Maybe for you, God's speaking something over a relationship and you're looking at it and you're going, but this is what I see with my eyes. And God's going, this is what I see. This is my promise to you. And I'm showing you this because I don't want you to be distracted by this. I want you to see what I've got for you. And so he created a new name. Jacob spoke out a new name over the place. In verse 19, it says, he named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. You know the word Luz? The name Luz in the Hebrew, in the Bible, means almond tree. You just went, wow. I didn't go, wow. I went, really? That's all it means? It means almond tree? So I'm figuring there was just a grove of almond trees there, like a bunch of almond trees there. Like, that's not very well. That's just like, oh, okay. But God's going, I know you see this in the natural, but I don't want you to think about that. I want you to remember what I've shown you in the spiritual in this place. And so Jacob, what he does is he grabs a hold of it and he gives it a new name. He says, I'm going to reflect that reality now, because now I have a greater reality that I have seen, that God has shown me. And I'm going to reflect, I'm going to speak it out. And he begins to speak it out. He reflects it in his speech. And he takes it and he says, I'm not just going to look at the natural. I'm going to speak over this according to the spiritual. This is the house of God. You know, many people, like I said, would often might walk into this place and go, converted, warehouse. We just go, no, it's the house of God. No, this is the gate of heaven. I don't say to people, what are you doing on the weekend? Oh, I'm going to the converted warehouse on Sunday. It's awesome. No, I speak over it what God has shown me it really is. I say, no, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to church. I'm going to the gateway of heaven. That's where I'm going. But do we take it into the other areas of our life when God speaks to us? We need to speak it out. We need to change our language so that we create a new name for it. And the third thing he does is he creates a new habit. Genesis 28 verse 22, and it says, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. In other words, Jacob didn't just receive the revelation and then go on unchanged business as usual. No, he did something. He did something different. He made it, set up a memorial pillar, yes, but not like a trophy you put on the shelf and then let it collect dust. Instead, he says, this is going to be ongoing in my life. He says, it will become a place and I will present to God. And he talks about this will become a place for not where I worshiped God, but for where I will worship God, for worshiping God, ongoing. I will do it. I will present to God. You see, it wasn't a place he worshiped once, full stop. He had decided that he was going to make this a continual place. He was saying, I'm creating a new habit. I didn't used to come by here and worship God. But now, every time I come here, I'm going to worship God. I'm creating a new habit. It's not going to be what it was before. A habit of worshiping God is always a good habit. There's a reason why we have do something over the doors. That's not just a catchphrase. That's not like Nike says, just do it. Why don't we just say, do something? Let's just make our version of it. No, it's a command. It's a reminder. It's a challenge. It's an instruction. It's an encouragement. Have you learned something here? Have you received something from God today? Well, don't forget about it. Don't just slot it away in the little memory of like a book where you just put a little bookmark back there. Oh, that was really cool. No, if you've received something, God is speaking to you about doing something. And so we put it over the door that when you leave this place, do not leave that revelation at the door. Don't put it down and walk out to now normal life. But decide we're going to be the people who take a hold of it and do something with it. We're going to create a new habit. See, otherwise what happens is if we don't prepare for revelations from God, if we don't come expecting revelations from God, we become like the fisherman who goes out in a boat. They're going out in the boat and it's like, oh, I think there's a school of fish down there. I'll just give it a grab. Let's just grab a fish, see if we can catch a fish. And then, oh, wow, I've got a fish. How cool. I didn't really know if I was going to get one. because you never know if you're just going to grab a fish out of the water, huh? But I'm going to throw it in the boat. And by the time I get home, I hope it's still good so that I can cook it up and eat it. No, that's not a smart fisherman. A smart fisherman has either a net or a fishing line, yeah? They don't go out in the boat without it. They go out and they have their fishing line and their tackle and all that stuff, or they have their net and they're ready to catch. When you come to church or when you read your Bible, when you hear a preaching, when you're at friendship group, are you ready, prepared for a revelation? Are you asking God, expecting Him to speak to you? Or are you thinking, we'll just have a nice little intellectual discussion, or I'll just hear something, then I'll talk to some friends and I'll leave? If you've come into the house of God, God is here. See, I was here and I wasn't even aware of it. May it never be for us. But may we come in aware that God is here, prepared, ready to speak into our hearts, into our lives. Because He wants to give you something. So therefore, let's be like the wise fisherman who goes, you know what? I'm going to take a net. I'm going to take a fishing rod. And then when I catch a fish, because I'm believing I'm going to, I'm going to have a container, a bucket here with some ice in it. I'm going to preserve what I've received. And then when I go home, I'm not going to open the cupboard and go, wow, what do I do with the fish now? I'm going to go, you know what? I've got a frying pan. I've got some butter, some garlic, maybe a little lemon and some salt. Put over that. I'm going to make it into a really delicious. I'm going to consume that. I'm going to grab a hold of that. I'm going to let it give me all the goodness that it has, so that when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to be stronger than I was today. See, we want to be this with God's word. And the, what we're learning out of Jacob's life right here is exactly how to do that. So with us and God's revelation, we need to create a new memory, so we write it down. We create a new name and begin to speak it out. Speak it out loud to those people around about us. Speak it out. Begin to speak differently about your marriage. Begin to speak differently about your health. Is God stirring you? Are you believing God for healing from something? Then don't be a cancer patient. Don't be a diabetic. Yeah, you're a person who's got diabetes at the moment, but God's going to heal you. You're a person who's working through the process with cancer, but God's going to heal you. You haven't become a cancer patient. You haven't become a diabetic. If you've lost your husband or your wife, you're not a widow or a widower forever. Please, on that last one, please understand, I'm not making light of that. But if you're believing that there God has more relationships for you, or a relationship for you to, you're not going to be relationship-less forever, but maybe He has somebody else for you in your life, then, okay, the loss is real, the grief is real, but if I'm believing for more, then I'm not a widow forever. Yeah, I've gone through that. But I'm single and believing God for the best that I could, best life that He wants to give to me. Let's not own the problem. Instead, let's speak out the promise. And the third one is how to create a new habit. Create a new habit. Put it into practice and do something. And I believe that if we apply this wisdom to our life, both natural and spiritual, both our natural life and our spiritual life, we will grow as people and we will see God's plans and promises come to pass, fulfilled in our lives just as He plans to, because His promise is to us. He says, I will not leave you until I have given you everything that I have promised you. Let's be people of faith. Say, you know what, God, if I trusted you enough to give you my life, then God, I'm going to believe that this is going to continue, that what you've given to me will continue, that everything that you promised me. See, sometimes it's easier to believe for salvation in the there. You know, when I get to heaven, or when I die, I'm going to get to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But that's not the whole life God's given to you. That He didn't die just to give you heaven. He died to make a difference in your life, to give you a new life here while you're here on earth. So let's be those people who decide we're going to grab a hold of that, amen? And we're going to get ourselves ready and be expectant for the things that God's got for us, so that we can grab a hold of them and not let them slide off the back into the sea of forgetfulness, and decide we're going to go for it.